hymn was the prayer, so do please sit down. Human life is not always easy, and sometimes, as you well know, it can be very difficult indeed. Daily life can bring us many tricky situations, many tricky problems. There can, for example, be all sorts of complications in our personal relationships with relatives and friends, with neighbours in our local area, and even in the church community. And then wider afield, all sorts of complex situations can arise at work, in business, in national and international affairs. Decisions are needed, and with many of them, it can be very hard indeed to know what's best. Now, the Bible does not give us instant solutions to every difficult problem and situation. But what we have in the Bible is a pointer to something which can be of great help to us in all the difficulties and problems of life. And this is wisdom, God-given wisdom, which can lead us forward in all the stresses and turbulence of our journey through life. This God-given wisdom is the subject of our Bible reading this morning, also the theme for this sermon. So we think about wisdom, and in our reading, you can find it on page 1215, some of you might find that helpful. In our reading, James is writing about two very different kinds of wisdom. The first one is what he calls the wisdom that comes down from heaven. In other words, it's godly wisdom, wisdom from God. But then James also writes about a very different kind of wisdom that he speaks of as earthly and unspiritual. And so there are these two kinds of wisdom, one that is good and godly, one which is the very opposite of that. Now we're going to concentrate our attention on the best kind of wisdom. And such good wisdom is not only about insight and understanding, it's also about living our lives in the way that God wants us to live. So God-given wisdom isn't something that's just in our heads. It's not only something that comes out of our mouths, it's also about the way we behave, the way we act, the way we relate to other people. And so in verse 13, James asks the question, who's wise amongst you? Which one of you is wise? And the answer is that the wise person will show his or her wisdom by and in the deeds that are done in humility that comes from wisdom, which means that whatever we may say, whatever clever words might come out of our mouths, it's not until we actually live wisdom that it really is wisdom. And it's been well said that our deeds speak louder than words. Now, it's true that part of wisdom is insight, God-given insight into what is really going on. I can still remember listening to a very famous Christian talking about his experiences in what he called the shooting galleries in New York. And these shooting galleries were places where young people went to inject themselves with heroin and other hard drugs. And this famous Christian was David Wilkerson, who had a remarkable ministry amongst drug users and who wrote that famous book, The Cross and the Switchblade. I'm looking to see how many of you might have read that. Yes, some of you have read that very famous Christian classic, which is still well worth reading. And some words of David Wilkerson are still in my mind. I went to hear him speak once, and he told us about the prayer that he used to pray when he went into those shooting galleries in New York. And what he used to pray was this: Lord, help me to see in this place what you are seeing. That's a great prayer, actually, for us in our lives. Help me to see in this situation what you are seeing. That is a prayer for wisdom, to see the situation as God sees it, to understand the situation as God sees it. It's a prayer of humility, a prayer that acknowledges that we don't see everything. We need God's help to see more clearly what's going on in any given situation. And then we can respond in action as God wants us to respond. Now, contrast that with what James says about the bad kind of wisdom, which he describes as arrogant, jealous, full of selfish ambitions. It's the kind of so-called wisdom that has an instant answer to every question, all too ready to put people down. It may come with slick and speedy answers to complex problems, but in the words of James, it's something that can lead to disorder and evil practice. In other words, it's the kind of so-called wisdom that sets people up against one another. I don't know what you think about this, but I wonder often whether the age of instant communication in which we live is an age that promotes true wisdom. Many good things about modern communication, but if you shove dozens of microphones in the face of the Prime Minister, the leader of the opposition, of some leader in public life, and you want an instant quote, an instant answer about some complicated matter, you probably won't get much more than a soundbite, which is here today, gone tomorrow. And maybe that's what the public want. We seem to want it, I think. Instant solutions to every kind of problem, and we're disappointed if politicians can't provide them. It's understandable that politicians feel that they've got to have immediate answers to every single question and their failures if they don't. But actually, the world is such a difficult and complex place, isn't it? The problems are so difficult. Things to be balanced one against another. I sometimes wish that a politician, when asked a question, would say, I need to think about that. That's a really difficult question. I'll go away and I'll come back and I'll study this question more carefully and give you a considered answer. Let's just continue our thoughts about this and look at verse 17 that tells us that the wisdom that comes from above is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. In other words, true wisdom and evil actions do not belong together. True wisdom is about looking for a peaceful solution whenever this is possible, which means that godly wisdom is considerate of others, considerate of their viewpoints and their feelings, willing to listen, willing to give way to those who may see things differently. Now, that does not mean that wisdom has got no convictions at all. And certainly wisdom does not mean going along with everything and everyone, whatever or whoever they may be. Which sometimes means that the path of wisdom means standing up to other people, challenging their behavior. But at the same time, the wise person doesn't ride roughshod over others, and he or she will always remember, as the saying goes, we've got two ears and one mouth, and we should use that in proportion. Good advice, that, I think. True wisdom is merciful, which means it's always ready to forgive the failings of others. Full of good fruit, that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And James uses the word fruit and harvest in his writings, and that's a reminder that there is no such thing as instant wisdom. I've come home from holiday this week, and I'm glad to see that our plums are at last ripening in our garden. They have taken months to grow and ripen. Fruit grows gradually. Wisdom grows gradually. And I hope and pray that one of the contributions that we older people here in church, and I count myself among them at the age of 77, I hope that pray that one of the contributions that we can make in a church, older people can make in the life of the church, is the contribution of wisdom, the wisdom that comes with years. Though we need to listen to younger people, and how much wisdom from young and old is needed in our fast-moving world in which new inventions, new discoveries face us with decisions that previous generations never have to face. My wife and I are watching that program on television about Great Ormond Street and the tragic situations in which sick children are found. And some of those decisions that have to be made, medical decisions about the future for a child, are so complex and difficult with so many things to balance one against the other. How much wisdom is needed in that sort of situation? I know that I need an increase in wisdom. And one of the ways this comes to us is by listening to others who we see have greater wisdom than we do. Do you remember that story about Jesus in the temple as a boy, young boy of 12, sitting and listening to older people, asking questions? And we're told at the end of that reading, he grew in stature, he grew taller and taller, he grew also in wisdom as he listened to other people. And we are encouraged to pray for wisdom. We get it by listening, we get it by praying. Several references to this in the Bible. Do you remember King Solomon? Reputation as a really wise man. He was asked by God, what do you want most of all in your life? And his reply and his prayer was wisdom. And it was given to him in a most remarkable way. And then at the beginning of this letter of James, we read these words, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all and without finding fault, and it will be given to him or her. Which reminds me to pray for more wisdom, not just generally, but also about problems and situations and decisions in daily life. And if we come to church this morning with a particular problem and we don't know the way ahead, a prayer that you can make as you come for communion. Lord, I give this problem to you, and I ask you to give me more wisdom to know the way ahead in it. And we may do well to go and discuss the problem with trusted people who we recognize have more wisdom than we do. And we can pray for wisdom not only for ourselves, but for other people. I was vicar in this diocese of Southwark in three different parishes for nearly 30 years. And as I look back, I know how much I needed more and more wisdom in the ministries that were given to me. I know that I did some unwise and stupid things, made foolish decisions at times. And so we can pray not only for wisdom for ourselves, but also for others, people in leadership, for Bridget and for people in our national life. I know we're going to pray for this in a moment as Sue leads us. And the Bible encourages us to pray for those in positions of leadership and in the church and so on. And if we switch on our television, I mean, you've only got to look at the things going on with the Labour Party. How much wisdom is needed there, isn't it? Because there are things to be said. There are so many different points of view being put forward, and the way ahead is by no means clear. And actually, in our complex and difficult world, wisdom is often about finding the least worst situation, a solution in any particular situation. Wisdom is not about instant solutions, though sometimes miraculously one may be given to us than God. I hope I'm making the point. I hope James is making the point. So much in the Christian life is about growing in God-given wisdom so that more and more we see situations in the way that he sees them and then respond in action in the way that he wants us to respond. It's all a progressive thing. I hope the sermon encourages us to think about it afresh, to pray for ourselves, our families and friends, the fellowship, our communities, and our leaders, local and national. The wisdom that comes from God. Let's pray for that. It's one of the best things that we can seek, one of the most precious gifts of God. And I finish with those words from the book of Proverbs, in which we can read, wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can desire compares with her. Let's have a moment to reflect, even a moment of a quiet, silent prayer, as we just reflect on what we've heard.